Let's turn to the scriptures. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. And I want to share a proverb that I've been meditating on for the last couple of days. Proverbs chapter 11. I just want to read one verse. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 3. And then in one hand we've got Proverbs. I want you to also turn to the book of Job chapter 1. So Proverbs chapter 11 and then Job chapter 1. Proverbs 11 and then Job chapter 1. And I'm not the only one here from Palmy. It's good to see Paul here. Well, he's actually from here, I think, first, but then he moved down. Him and I kind of backslid and went to Palmy. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 3. Proverbs 11 3. This is really loud when you laugh. Or just breathe heavily. Better not laugh, amen. Proverbs 11, verse 3. Let's read it. The Bible says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Now I want to read the first verse of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Lord, please help us tonight to be able to hear from your word, to be able to expound the truth found therein. And I pray this afternoon that you would be glorified and magnified as your word is lifted up, and it would be the preeminent aspect in our life. I pray that we would have the right priorities, but I pray also that you would just give us the ability to live for you, and give us the strength by the Holy Spirit to live as Christians and to share our testimony and be a light to the world. And I pray tonight, as we look at the integrity, I pray that as Christians we would be honest before the world and be honest to those that we have influence to. And I pray that you would please just help me as I here minister the word. I pray for your spirit, for the power to come and assist and help. And I pray that even though I be a little nervous, I pray that you just give me strength and help me this evening, and be the heart of the hearts of the people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if God were to put your testimony, here's a question. If God were to put your testimony in the Bible using less than 30 words, how do you think your testimony would look? If God were to summarize your life in 28 words, just like he did for Job, would you be happy with reading it? Would you be happy with other people turning to the book of, I don't know, Pastor Montgomery, chapter 1, verse 1. Would people be happy to see what your testimony looks like? Would you be happy with reading what your testimony is like and what God says about your life? Let me give you an example. Let's say Isaiah. Right. I'm glad he walked in. Let's say his testimony, maybe the Lord wrote something about him, you know, something like, I don't know, always went to McDonald's after church and ate McDonald's, amen. Ordered a quarter pounder and got full, right? Where's Mikey? What about his, you know, I don't know, always went to McDonald's with Zaya after church and always asked his brother to shout him a feed. What about something like that? Or what about something a little bit more serious, like there was a man in the land of New Zealand whose name was Michael Jones. And that man was faithful to church. That man was faithful in the children's ministry. And that man helped these little children to come stand up here and to sing praises to God in the assembly of God. What would your testimony be like? And there's a characteristic of this man by the name of Job that I want to talk about tonight, and that characteristic is integrity. I think every Christian needs to have this sort of integrity. Now, later on, We read in Job about his characteristics, but I don't want to kind of dwell too much about on the narrative and setting the groundwork. I kind of just want to go straight to the chase and talk about this characteristic of integrity, and that is what Job had. And I want to give you a few applications tonight and for the outline. I want to give you three applications we can apply our integrity as Christians. Now, the word integrity means the entire, unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness. But the word that I want to use interchangeably with this word integrity is honesty, and you're going to hear that word a lot tonight. Honesty. God's word tells us that we are to be honest and not to lie. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And it says the same thing in Deuteronomy 5:20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Jesus later stated this in Matthew 19, verse 18, to the rich young ruler. Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And then he says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And bearing false witness or lying or being dishonest comes in more than saying five is not four, so don't lie. And that's the ninth commandment right there. That's what we teach our Sunday school kids. It's more than just telling a blatant white lie. It's actually being dishonest in our Christian living. I want to give you three areas that we can put application for integrity. And if you're a note taker, the title of the message is The Impact of Integrity. I want to talk to you about integrity. Number one, I want us to see that we are to show integrity before the lost. We're to show integrity before the lost. Before we were Christians, we were sheep gone astray from the sheepfold. But by God's grace, for those who have trusted him, we are adopted into his family. We looked at a verse this morning speaking about that, Romans 8:15. It talks about how we were received. We received the spirit of adoption. Those who are not a part of God's family are in a spiritually lost condition. They don't have a personal relationship with God. Why do Christians need to have an honest lifestyle? I'm going to give you two reasons, and the first one might tangle your brains a little bit. The first reason why we should have honesty, live an honest lifestyle before the lost, okay, ready, is because they are lost. Pretty simple. We need to show an honest lifestyle, a life of integrity before the lost, because there are people who are lost, their lives are without Christ, and they need a Savior to save them from their sin. Unsaved people often need to see an example of why they should change their lives and turn from the sin that they are living in. How will they see this except in the example of someone who goes to work, who is honest, who is always doing their best, who is always content and never complains? What happens to the person that sees that? They'll start asking questions. Excuse me, why are you a little bit different? Why are you always so honest? God wants to see honesty from us. Christians, as Christians, we need to live honestly according to the word of God, because people who are not reached for Christ will spend eternity in hell. And I think about 7 or 8 years ago, I was on an army exercise with the cadets. And that's where I met Calvin and Grant. And I remember this one time we were sitting in a really, really cold place in Minganui Forest. And if any of you know where that is, I think it's about an hour out of town or something. I think Rex is from there, out those ways, Murupara. And we were sitting there doing an army exercise. And I remember sitting there with Calvin, and there was me and Calvin, and we're 15 or 16, we're only young. And we're sitting there, and we're sitting kind of just not doing anything, just in the bush, and me and Calvin, and I don't know if Grant was there, but I know that there was another guy there. And we were talking about the Bible, and we were talking about God, and we were talking about Christ, about church, and all these things. And then I'm a little bit cheeky, and so I kind of try to cut Calvin's feet a bit, and I try to get him to compromise. And one time I said to him, I was like, oh, you know, Calvin, if there wasn't a God, do you? And then I could never get past that point, because he was always like, I'm not going to answer that. Yeah, but I'm just saying that if there's no God, just let's rationalize for a bit and say, if there is no God, just take God out. And he says, I'm not going to answer it. Because I know that there is a God. I know that he intercedes for me. I have a personal relationship with God. And I started to get a little bit irritated. And I just said, I just wanted to know what he thinks if there wasn't a God. And you know what? He never broke. And I wasn't even a Christian then. And you know what I saw in a young man who didn't compromise? I saw integrity. I saw in a man who never broke, who stuck to his morals, who stuck to him learning about the Bible and knowing that the Bible is true, and in any compromise I could have just slithered him away, but you know, he stuck true because he showed integrity, and because of that integrity, I'm here preaching about integrity, amen. What a blessing. What a blessing what he was to me, and that's the sort of integrity I'm talking about. We have this honest lifestyle before the lost. We have this honest lifestyle before those who are not saved. Peter wrote to scattered believers concerning this honest lifestyle. He said in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now, if you know that word conversation is talking about our lifestyle. It's talking about our behavior. And he says that whereas they speak evil, they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we need to have this lifestyle of integrity before the lost, because they are lost and need the Savior. And secondly, they need it because the world's philosophy deters them from God's word and God's will for their lives. I'm not sure if you've ever stopped to think about where this society is heading. But I can tell you it's not heading in a very great direction. And all you really need to do is look at the young people. When you get a glance of what the young children out there are doing, you're getting a glance of the future. You're getting a glance as to what is going on, and you can see it in the children and the things that they watch and the things that they listen to and the videos that they're watching and the games and this Fortnite and everything that's overtaking them. It takes away from the importance of God. It takes away from who God is and what God's plan is for mankind. And a Christian, by their good works, are able to testify of the works of the Father. We should never try to identify ourselves with the world, because the world is what Christ has redeemed us from, to live in the life that he has given us. If we attempt to live like the world, there is no distinction, and the people are just going to say, why you do it, so why can't I do it? There's no real distinction there, and we are to be different from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And the Apostle Paul says we need to be different. We need to be different from the world, and our lifestyles need to be distinctly different from the way the world is living. When you live righteously in this unrighteous world, it tends to be noticed. Your works do not go unnoticed. When you are when you don't want to do the things that the world does, and they'll start asking you questions. And right there, you have the greatest opportunity to tell them the greatest news and testify, hey, listen, this work isn't of myself. This is the work that God has wrought in me. And this is the same work that God can do in you if only you trust and believe. If only you believe and God, allow God to change your heart and allow God to conform you to his image. There it is, where by your lifestyle of honesty and integrity before mankind, you have the ability to tell them about Christ. What a blessing. But if we attempt to compromise with the world, if we want to be the same and desire not to be a testimony to the lost, what hope do they ever have in knowing Christ? You can be there to show an honest lifestyle, a lifestyle based upon the Bible, and as you allow God to use you, people will notice the difference. They say, this man is honest. I don't know what's wrong. He just keeps, never wants to talk about why there isn't a God, because he knows. And I can Can I say that we need to have this lifestyle of integrity before the lost? And secondly, we need to have it before the law. We need to have a lifestyle of honesty, of integrity before the lost. And we need to have a lifestyle of integrity before the law. And this law I'm talking about here is man's law, according to the law of the government. Mark 12:17 says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him." And we can understand that there are laws that are passed here that are contrary to the word of God. And right here, as believers, we need to have this discernment and wisdom. Do I obey man's law that is contrary to the word of God? Well, I believe the apostles back in the book of Acts got it right. In Acts 5:29, when they were confronted by the high priest and the council to say, you know, these were the sorts of people, he said, "What are you doing? Didn't we just tell you not to go and teach about Jesus Christ? Didn't we straightly command you not to preach in the name of Jesus?" And their response is a response that we need to keep in mind, Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." As Christians, we take wise and diligent steps to obey man's laws, and God will bless us as we obey man's laws. Maybe who are some people in the scripture that you know had to compromise with man's law and obey God's law? You remember three Hebrew children in Babylon? They were abiding to the laws of the Babylonians, but then when push came to shove, them, what do they say, the tarmac hit the tires or whatever, when the tea bag really hit the water is when they really started to say, are we going to obey man's law? Are we going to obey God's law? Because they said, Nebuchadnezzar, you remember the command that was passed, he says, if you were to hear the sound of all the instruments and the music playing, when you hear all of that, I want everybody in the nation to bow down. Oh, we're not careful to answer thee, O King. We already know, we know that we are not going to fall down and worship the image. The Bible says not to have false gods. And how about Daniel? How about when the presidents and the princes, and they all try to plot against him? They came up with all these ideas, and how can we get Daniel? How can we get him to, how can we kind of just throw him out of the kingdom? And you know it, Darius, they said to Darius, you know, sign the writing that no man should request of their God for 30 days. And okay, King Darius in a hasty spirit went to go and sign the decree, and then later on they saw Daniel praying to his God. I think it's fascinating how, I don't have it written down, but I think it's Daniel 5, how he had said that when he had knew this writing was signed. In other words, he knew that it was illegal. It's not like he didn't know it. He did it. He was not allowing any compromise. He was living a life of integrity before the law, but more so of God's law. He had a desire, like the apostles, to serve God rather than man. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, oh, we'll go out of here and jump in our cars, you know, when the sign says 50, I'm going to go 70, you know. I'm not saying to do that. Hey, if you have a learner's license, you shouldn't be driving with other people. It says you're 50, you're 50. I mean, we sign up for a 40-hour-a-week contract with the boss. There is integrity required that you owe the boss commitment. And when you do that, I'm telling you, God will bless. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Honesty and integrity like this, to obey the law, man's law, is what exalted Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were blessed by God. They did what God wanted them to do, and as a result, the reaping was evident. It was fruitful. We need to have integrity as Christians before the lost, before the law, and lastly, before the Lord. I want us to come back to Job chapter 1, verse 1, and speak about this last point. If we wanted anybody to declare a good integrity of us, it is God. You can get the above two right, but if this one's not right, none of them really matter. Because this is the heart we're dealing with. I can show up to church and have my suit pressed and my tie down over here above my belt, and I can look the part. Anybody can. But the heart is what the Lord knows. The Lord is omnipresent. He's omniscient. In Proverbs 5:21 it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." God knows everything that we do. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Anybody can be honest about the loss and live a lifestyle of righteousness before the law, but where it counts most is when God sees our heart, and God himself sees us who we truly are. God even declared that Job was an honest and upright man, and his integrity was what guided him through his trials. Back in Proverbs 11:3, we see that the integrity of the upright, Job being an upright and an honest man, shall guide them. He had guidance because his life was based upon biblical principles. Of course, they didn't have the Bible then. But according to God's word, he established his household and he became a great man. The Bible at first called him the greatest of the East. But then God put him through a trial and made him greater. And that's what Pastor was talking about over in Tito today, about how God refines us from the fire and the pressure and the trials and the tribulations. God is faithful to his word and can help us to overcome. But we must suffer a while. How much do husbands need integrity in their relationship with their wives? How much integrity do wives need to their husbands? How much does we need to have as integrity as young men and women in the church before God? I'm telling you, when we're honest before God, God sees the heart. Consider the woman who tried to tell Jesus she didn't have a husband. John 4:16 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly." He exposed every skeleton in her closet. He exposed her faults, her lies, her lack of integrity. And the same was with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who ripped everybody off. No integrity. But yet when he saw Jesus pass by and he had a personal relationship with God, when he trusted Christ, his whole life changed. And that's what I'm saying is when we have a true, honest lifestyle before God, God blesses. He does amazing things and he just changes your life. It's amazing. I believe the Lord is the best example when it comes to integrity. How do I know this? Because he is faithful and honest to his word. He is faithful and honest to his word. I know this is very true as I grow and as I do what I can to live for the Lord. Any stumbling, fallbacks, any setbacks in my Christian life I may have, I can always hang my coat hanger on 1 John 1:9, amen. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing to know that I still have hope to serve God, and even though I may do things that displease God, I still have an opportunity to start again. How many of you are grateful that you have an opportunity to start over again? Amen. Because what a blessing to know that we fall back and, you know, we listen to the deceit of the flesh and say, I can't be used of God. Look at the things that I've done. But God is faithful, who says, if you just come to the throne of grace humbly, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. Can I encourage you tonight, Christian, to live honestly before God? to live a life of integrity. Maybe you sit here and you don't even know God. You don't even have a relationship with God. I'm telling you that God loves you so much, but the thing that separates you from your relationship with God tonight is this thing called sin. It says, the Bible in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We have sinned, and I don't think that's what's right. Excuse me. Romans 3:22, yes. Sorry. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We have all disobeyed God's law. And then it says in the Bible that Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. What we do for sin is a spiritual death. It's not talking about a death of, the funeral that just happened this week. It's talking about a spiritual separation from God in hell forever and ever. But God did not intend for that place for you. He said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And then he says, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we cannot earn our way to heaven by ourselves. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then it says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which I have done or we have done, but according to his, God's mercies, he saved us. He saved us. And then it says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you sit here and say, I'm going to heaven because I showed up on Sunday night and Sunday morning and I put $10 in the offering today, I'm sorry to tell you, that doesn't earn your way to heaven. That doesn't earn your way to have a personal relationship with God. I'm telling you that when you turn from your sin as a wretched sinner and ask God, the righteous one, to forgive you of your sin, God is faithful to hear your prayer, and he will do the miracle work called born again. Being born again. Being regenerated and adopted into the family of God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, can I encourage you to make a decision to have your sin forgiven by asking God to forgive you of all your sin. And he will cleanse you from your sin. You will come to Jesus tonight and repent and live a life of faith that God intends for you to live honestly. Can I encourage you to do that? Can I encourage you, Christian, to live a life of integrity, to live a life of honesty before the law, before the lost, but most importantly, before the Lord. Let's bow our heads, we'll pray.